First of all, I want to thank Ann and Joanne and everybody here today for me. Thank you to all. Especially today, I really want to thank that girl that is sitting on the back, Tracy Reyes, because she was the first Christian that prayed for me and the first person that came to my life and talked about God. And I remember she saying to me all the time, white, black. And I used to say, gray, gray. Remember? Anyway, thank you for your prayers. I remember how happy she was when she found out that I married a man of God. And when I find out what truly was a man of God, I was, oh, nice. No more dancing in downtown. And she was so thrilled about it. And when I was like, okay, I guess I need a new closet as well. Today is, like my husband said, a very special day for many reasons for me. But one of the reasons is because today was the last day that Jorge, my son, was alive 3 years ago. So I just want to thank the Lord, my Father in heaven, to you, Jesus, to you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything that you have done. I love you with all my heart, with everything that is in me. Take this moment because it's all about you, about your glory and your goodness and your kindness and your mercies. And I thank you, Father, that my son, when he died, they gave me his ashes. This was hanging in the little bottle that they gave me, the vase with his ashes, and had a number 1268. And I remember always thinking 1268, just a plate with a number, a plate that more likely is not even made of silver. But he's not a number. He's a son of God, and he is in the kingdom. And I thank you, Father, and I tell you, Father, to tell him in my name that I love him and that I'm coming with big victory. Because what Satan did to us, oh, he truly messed up with the wrong person. I'm going to read. Before I start giving my testimony, I want to read this psalm. And it's Psalm 18, which is very long. But I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read just parts of it. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I call upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanses of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wicked departed from my God. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all that trust in Him. You have also given me the shield of my salvation, of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. For you have armed me with the strength for the battle. You have subdued under my toes, under me those who rose up against me. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the Lord of my salvation be exalted. Amen. I want to say that today I'm not really here to tell a story, my story. I'm not here either to make you sad, but I'm here to give you the same uplifting comfort that I was comforted many, many, many times. Because God is a God of all comforts. And He asked us in the book of Corinthians to extend that comfort to others. The same comfort that He has extended to us. Today, I am here as an ambassador of God's kingdom to speak of the God that I know, that is my Father, who sits in the throne and reigns forever and ever. And He is each of us, our Lord, our Father, our everything. Without Him, I don't know how can someone go through life without Him. So, in Isaiah 61:1, it said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The Lord explained to me that this message today is going to be a message that we all need to understand that the times are very short. The times right now that we're living, and His coming will not delay. But we need to, in these times that we're living in, we need to remember how merciful He is. We need to remember in John 8, when Jesus was talking to the people and they brought that woman that it was in adultery. And they dragged her to His feet. And they were accusing her and demanding her death, to condemn her to death. But Jesus, full of mercy, He defended her, protect her, and said, "You know, whoever is free of guilt, just go ahead and throw the first stone." And then He started writing. So many people tried to guess what He was writing anywhere. Anyway, then everybody started to leave. And he looked at her and said, "Where are those who persecuted you?" And she saw that there was nobody there. And he said, "Go and sing no more." You know, we need to really understand that God is a God of love. Because God so loved the world that he really sent the dearest of his heart, his only son, to give us life and forgiveness. And yes, we judge sin, because sin defile us, destroy us, corrupt us, completely take away from us any worth, any self-esteem. But to the sinner, to the person, don't judge. Be kind. Be full of compassion. Because he is full of compassion. In Matthew 9:35-38, which I love that scripture, it says this. He said that when Jesus saw the crowd, you know, when he saw the crowd that they were following him and that they were hungry and full of need, he was moved with compassion. And it says that, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, prayed the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And I think so that right now, even though the times of darkness are becoming so deep and taking so much stronghold and so much territory, still we, the church, the bride, should exercise the mercy, the merciful attributes, the compassion to those ones who are lost, in order that they see in us no condemnation of the person, but the sin. You know, there's nothing that moves more a person than when you are downed because you have done something that you shouldn't have done. A sin that you fell into sin. And this sin took a stronghold on you. And you really are in the mud. And there's nothing that moves more a sinner than a hand of love that is extended to him or to her at that time without an agenda. Just because we sincerely care. My son Jorge lost his path. I lost him when he was 17 years old. And Jorge decided to live a life that the world was showing him, indulging self-satisfaction. He was lost completely into cocaine, crack. And I remember that the way that he grew up was so love in the family. And I could not believe how this child has been taken away from the kingdom of darkness, took him completely at the same time and at the same moment that I was coming into the Lord, into the same moment, the same year that I was coming to God. And when I came and find the Lord, there's witness here that walked with me all those years. Tracy is here and she can vouch that it was radical. That it was radical. I went literally radical for the Lord. I believe every word. And I did not doubt it for 1 second. And my mom used to talk to me and said, "You really believe all this, do you?" Because I was rebuking sickness, rebuking this, rebuking that, and that's not possible. How is that possible? That cannot happen. And my mom, she's like, "You really believe this one?" And she has been Catholic all her life. We were raised Catholic. I studied in the Catholic school all my life. And but Satan is so sneaky and so devious and so evil that when he saw this woman learning to believe and to trust God and his word and getting so excited about everything that he was. And I believe the kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like my husband said, I never, never was introduced to religious or legalism. I was never. My husband would never allow it in first place. And Pastor John Count either. And I was so sealed by this God that loved us so, so much. And, but at the same time, darkness had a hidden agenda. And he convinced my son to have desires, to love other men. And he's starting going into the path of homosexuality. And at the same time, older homosexuals with money will start giving him things, extremely expensive gifts. And it blind him. And it's just, they were just loading. I mean, they were completely, he started living in the best places of town. Going to Versace store to buy his jeans. And he was so blind. But this false love, by this false identity. Because the truth is that we all are born into sin. We were once part of sin nature. There's people that are born in addictions because their parents were addicted to drugs or alcohol. And they said that it's already in their genes. There's people that are bent to violence. So, including overweight, genetically. But we know that because somebody was born out of parents that were drug addicted, we don't tell them, "Oh, it's in your gene, it's the way you are, so do you want some coke?" And And the world has convinced us that we are what we are not. And I remember when I used to visit my son, and they were all his friends, and they all were just full zeal and belief for the homosexual lifestyle. And I remember that I love them. I still love them. I love them all. Why shouldn't? They were just very lovely kids going in the wrong path, but very, very lovely kids, full of trauma inside and pain. But they were lost, like some of us have been. You know, sometimes there's scenes that we can see and touch. But there are other scenes like pride, like resentments, like lack of forgiveness, hate, envy. You know, sometimes you can even be a person that has been a leader in the church for years. And sometimes the heart. I mean, Jesus said, you know, when they came and told him, I have cast demons in your name. I have healed in your name. He said, I never knew you. So I am here to remind all of us that there is a world out there where darkness is falling very, very strong, confusing, lying, deceiving, taking away. And we, the Christians, the body of Christ, there's a group that is taking it so lightly, sin, because the love of God and the goodness of God that end in the same mud with the sinners in bars drinking, whoo, happy hour, and going, because they really have lost the perspective of that sin defile us, destroy us, work against our benefit. And beside that, with the stain of sin, there's no possible way that we can enter the kingdom of God, because he is holy and his dominion is a dominion of holiness. So corruption and holiness cannot fellowship together, cannot partnership together. So God's nature impedes that when we have not cleansed that sin, that stain through the blood of Christ, and have his holiness be imputed unto us, imparted unto us, so that cover us. That's what they said when they see us, they see the blood. Then we can enter to God's dominion because we have been imputed. It has been imputed unto us that same holiness. But when the stain of sin cover us, when darkness cover us, cannot fellowship with light. It's but God's nature. But he loves us. He wants that every man is his desire to be saved. I mean, he did the biggest sacrifice. Heavens did the biggest paid to rescue us. That much worth we have. So when we deal with sinners and people who are lost, let's don't see them as people of no worth. Because the worth that they have is the blood of Christ Jesus. But the problem is that if that blood is not accepted, is not imparted upon them, they cannot enter the dominion of God's holiness. When my son died, Jorge lived like years, I mean years. I need to say Jorge to differentiate him from George, my husband, but everybody call him George. So when Jorge was alive, Jorge had so many pains. His dad, I was married very young, 17 years old in Nicaragua, but it didn't work. So when we were, it was the revolution time, so my parents were fleeing Nicaragua. His parents were fleeing to Miami. And here I am, 17 years old, married with a 19 years old that, I'm sorry, but he truly was a loser. And I'm sorry to say that, but the guy, I really choose a good one on that one. But I learned my lesson. I went the opposite way. But so he never met his son. So we left with my parents to Honduras. And in Honduras, everything changed for us. From wealth and high social status and regard socially, we were to live in a neighborhood that I just it was in awe. And those years I remember how much I hated God. Because I didn't know him, even though I was raised Catholic and grew up in a Catholic school. I really didn't know him. I was completely confused. I was never taught about God's character, that God had a character. That was for me like foreigner completely. I mean, when I married George, I remember that he saw God and Jesus like he was truly, truly, truly a person. And I was just thinking, he really sees him like a person. And I really thought, this is unbelievable. And one time I asked him at night, you really love him, is that right? And he turned around and said to me like a kid, and I thought to myself, I need to get that. So honestly. And then he took me to this, and I'm sorry, I'm going to all over places, but this is the way I am. And so, so he took me to this Christian church, and I wanted to go to Second Baptist, at least. I had a Pope and a Vatican in Italy. So at least make me Baptist. Give me a name, something. And he did went with me for a couple of times, but I didn't understand that the gifts of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God, that the presence of God wasn't there. And I was like, So he took me to another church. And when I got there, I see these people dancing, lifting hands, and taking their shoes off, which was absolutely disrespectful for me. You don't take your shoes off and show your toes in a public place that is not your house. That's what my mom taught me. And I was so annoying. And suddenly, Like the second time we got there, I remember that they were lifting their hands and praising and everything. And I got pride. Oh, by the way, pride saved me, brought me to salvation. Because I thought, I'm Catholic. Who are these people? They don't even have a name. Non-denomination Christian, what's that? And I'm just thinking, they're singing and everything. I thought to myself, I have to come up with something. Seriously. It's the same God, the same Jesus they're talking, the one that they, the nuns taught me. And so the best that I could do is imitate what they were doing. Because I thought, excuse me? So they were lifting their hands in the air, so I decided to lift my hands in the air. They were closing their eyes, so I closed my eyes because I could do what they were doing. And so, but then they start saying words. Worthy, worthy. You're righteous. You're... And I'm like, what? I had no clue, but I thought I'm going to repeat them because I'm Catholic. And I can do that. I'm sorry. And so I start trying to lean on them and start repeating what they were saying. And like that, the Holy Spirit fell upon me. Like that. And heat came upon me, and when they did that salvation call, I ran to that pulpit. And when I learned that I was like a saint, sanctified, I called my mom. And my papa said to my mom, she said that she's a santa. That she's a saint. I was like, yes, I am. It's by the blood. And so they were really, really concerned. Because I keep calling them all the time, telling them something that the Bible said, and they really know the Bible. So my mom keeps saying all the time, she really smoke it green. And she used to say all the time, it's because she be, then when they start seeing the results of that faith and that relationship that I was talking about and calling them daily about it, when they start seeing the true changes and the faith and the belief, then they started to really wonder. And they start coming every year for a month. George was bringing them every year for a month. And George was giving them Bible studies for a full month because they wanted to know. And at that time, Jorge, at that time, in that same process, I have lost my son. He has gone away. He started all this playing the Ouija board. And then he was taken away. In matters of years, my son was destroyed with crystal meth. I never knew from one day to the other day if he was alive or dead. I never knew. But Jorge had that brokenness inside of him of lacking of a father. And when he, right before he entered into drugs, I came from work. And he left me a paper. He went to Miami to find his dad. And he found him. And he asked him to leave his yard. And if not, he was going to call the police. And he wasn't in drugs or nothing at that time. He was just a kid that wanted to meet his dad. And then his dad's sister came and rescued him and took him They wanted to get to know him and his grandparents. They called me and they asked me, and I was desperate. I was desperate. I was trying to get an airplane as soon as I called to be there. But they convinced me to leave him there with them just a little bit, that they were going to protect him. I met them. I knew who they were. That just if Jorge, his dad, has nothing to do with him, that at least they want to heal that portion that it was that he learned his father's family, and that they care and that they love him. But what happened was that his aunt was a lesbian, and she was living for like 12 years, something like that, with in a relationship. And so literally the months that Jorge was there, they told him that he needed to accept himself. And they made the first date for him with another guy. And, you know, when you're broken inside, when you're really broken inside, there's levels of brokenness. But, you know, it is well known that when a girl is very promiscuous, it's because she longs for that father figure that maybe she didn't have. Sometimes girls, they don't look for sex. They just look to be love and hug and kiss. And in homosexuality, there's so much brokenness and deception. And we need to learn to do a better job as the body of Christ. Not to embrace sin. When I was going to visit my son Jorge, all these kids knew where I stand. All of them. In fact, I'm sorry to say this, I know they're filming, but I nicknamed them and everything. And they laugh about it. They literally laugh about it. When my son Jorge was going to the bathroom or something, and he came back, multiple occasions, he already find me in the floor with them praying. And he was, "Mama, I think it's time for you to go." And they were all, "Can I get your phone number?" Because at the first, when I met them, it's not that I went, "Hey, you're going to hell. You know that. You better change and straight up." Because can you explain me, if you talk like that to somebody, how you going to steer in them any type of, "This person seriously cares? I feel love." The last thing they will feel is love. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit. That's why the fruits of the Spirit are so important. It's so important that we develop an intimacy with the Lord, so these fruits can really flow. The fruits of love, of faith, and meekness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and compassion, that this gift really start flowing through us. Because, you know, even when we have a friend, a close friend, and we start hanging, months start passing, and years, you start even sometimes talking or having mannerisms like your friend. They said that husbands and wives, when they grow really old, they start looking like each other, like brother and sister. True. So, anyway, but the thing is this. How is possible that we gonna have this intimacy with a God that in the book of Exodus, when Moses said, I want to see your glory, and come and introduce himself as this, the Lord, gracious and kind, abundant in forgiveness, in love, and in truth. How are we going to start having intimacy and get to know a God and a Father like that? And that those attributes don't stick to us. If you really think that the fruits of God, read them. They're in Galatians 5. I know you all know that. And be like a thermometer of what is wrong over here. What is happening here? What's going on with my heart, with my eye, with my mind? Because we, as children of God, must exercise the attributes of God. And yes, we should be righteous. And we should show righteousness. Absolutely yes. Because that's the good life. The life of goodness is beyond beneficial for us. But it's not self-righteousness. Because righteousness has nothing to do with self. Because self is just full of flesh. But righteousness is imparted to us by grace. You are saved. So nobody boasts. Nobody works. But through faith. So we need to absolutely speak without shame about our faith. And we should show it in our personality. Full of joy, love, kindness, service, merciful. Because then you really have a bridge that you can cross with people. You know, every time that I talk to people, I don't care who they are. I start asking them about them. They start sharing about them. And if they are from another religion, I start asking them about their religion. Now, after I finish hearing everything that they had to say, I guess that they have to have the courtesy then to listen what I have to say. So I let them talk, and after they talk, I go, oh, and then they want to be polite. And they said, oh, and you, where are you from? And I go, hee-hee, now it's my turn. And they see that you are genuine. And they, you establish relationship with people easy. And they see that you don't have an agenda. I don't want to make you member of my church. It's not a self-gain. It's just because truly, sincerely, I care. I really care. And when I see pain, it shouldn't. It shouldn't be pain. And when a person is in pain, he needs a hug. He needs a prayer. And don't cancel your prayers just because they're Muslims or Hindus or whatever. Pray. Lay hands. It's your chance. And then, quietly, as soon as you turn around, you go, Holy Spirit, seek him. Seek her. Seek her. Don't be concerned about where they are. Be concerned where they can be. But never compromise. I never compromised with my son. I never, ever, not even once, with him or all his friends, and all his friends knows that I care for them and that I sincerely love them. But they saw that it was real. It's because I thought that it was better for them. It's because I gave them another option for their benefit. And I used to say, you know, I know that the world is telling you that you have the right to love whoever that you want and be with whoever you want. But I'm telling you, you have the right to be the male that you are, that God make you like this, and you have the right to be married with a woman, and you have the right to have your own children and not adopt them. You have other rights. You have very, very powerful rights that God can give you and in blessings. I cancel those lies. And let me tell you something. When you truly reach a person, no matter in what type of sin they are, don't get me wrong, there's rebellious people. Yes. In fact, not long ago, I got a friend of mine that I care so much. I brought him to Christ, and she asked me, I fall in love. This is like the fifth time. And can I go and live with him? He's Muslim. And she was coming today. And I told her, well, you know how much I love you, but this is it. Well, I guess she's not talking to me anymore. And that things will happen. Things will be offended. Your faith will offend others. But, you know, there is a war here, a real war. And the battlefield is earth, and we are warring, battling for souls. For souls. And requires that you know God, that you know His Word, that you know His heart, that you develop a relationship, and that you develop this desire to bring to Papa more kids. For 8 years, I pray for Jorge's salvation. For 8 years. And he died committing suicide. He put a gun in his head. And One day I was praying, and I asked God, because I couldn't sleep in the night, I just walked the house, and I asked God, Father, with all my respect, where is my son? And as I was praying the middle of the night on my knees, suddenly started a vision. And suddenly I saw my son walking in despair in his bedroom. Just holding his head and walking in despair and crying. Then I saw him that he walked into the closet, the bathroom area. Then the Lord did not allow me to see. I heard the shot. And I felt it here, like something broke quick. And then the Lord allowed me to keep seeing, and I saw his body fall into the ground. And at the same second his body falls on the floor dead, he gets up. His real spiritual body. Dead doesn't exist. There's no dead whatsoever. And he gets up. And I see his face and his confusion, because he sees his body on the ground and he knows that he killed himself. But he's alive. And right there, I see what he's seeing. And there comes two demons. They look like old widows. Bad, horrendous beings. And they, his body is like this. And they are at his feet of his body. He's like standing in the center of his body. And these two demons stand their hands in the certainty of the possession of the legal grounds for taking him to the place of torments. And I see the horror in his face. But at that same second, I see an angel of God get in between and said to the to those demons, whoever that called the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. And they turn around. The demons disappear instantly. Instantly, they were gone. And the demons, and then the angel turn and look at Jorge, my son still in wonder. And then two other angels come, turn around and score them. That's how you said? Score. Into the heavens. He's in the center, and then two in each side, one in the back. There's a light at the front, and they are taking so speed that I don't see the speed anymore. And suddenly I see them arriving the gates of heaven. And the three comes upon this ground. But I only see a little portion of the gates because the gates were too big for me to see it completely. And there's two angels at one side of this gate. And these two angels see these three angels that are coming with my son, and they start to approach, and they come to this ground, step into the ground, and they start. And the angel that they had a book in their hands, the one that it were by the gate, and the angel that spoke to the demons comes to these two angels with the book and said these words, whoever call in the name of the Lord will be saved. And they nod that yes. So at that moment, I see the gates of heaven opening for him. And I see far away this multitude of people coming, but the Lord did not allow me to see their faces. So I saw them, they were coming to welcome him. And as they crossed the gates, I was not allowed to enter at all. But as they crossed the gate in the same way, three, and my son in the center, I see my son that he gets it. I'm saved. I made it. Somehow. That has to be my mom prayed for 8 years. I mean, for sure. No. But what I saw is that he get this excitement. Seriously, he made it. And then with a thrill and excitement, he turned around and tell the same angel, my mom has to know, my mom has to know. And the angel turned around and said to him, she will know. And then I no longer, a cloud came, but the angel turned around face to face to me and he said, right now, he's going to be taken to the room where he's going to be cleansed and holy robes will be put onto him. And then the Lord Jesus will be waiting there for him. And he will shed his last tears. But the Lord Jesus will wipe those tears from his face and will be no pain and no suffering no more. And Carlene, who many of you probably know, That day that we find out that my son has died, Carlene called the house. And my husband came to the bedroom and said to me, you need to get this phone call. You really need to get this phone call. And Carlene was in prayer. And before nobody knew, Carlene saw the son of Jessica entering heaven. And that was the first confirmation I got before the vision. So I want that you know that I asked God one thing. And I said, in those times, in those hours of despair and so much pain that I really had no idea how my heart was going to be able to be put together again, I was so broken, so destroyed. And this has not been the first time that Satan has attacked me furiously. And I know it will not be the last one. But I cried to my dad. And I said, please, Papa, please, give me one thing. Give me one thing. Where for every tear, for every wound, for every pain that Satan has done to me because he has taken my firstborn and he has lied to him, deceived him, destroyed him, killed him, murdered him. For every pain, give me a victory, Lord. And that where is a place and grounds of destruction and debased, allow me, Father, to put a flag of victory in you, Satan, face. That your kingdom will not prevail. That the gates of hell will not prevail, overcome the church, the bride, the people of God, the children of God. This is battle and it's battleground. But we are the true winners. No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, even dragging ourselves to the gates of heaven, we need to make it. We need to make it and make it count. Make it count. Because he will size us and harm us time and time and time again through this life that we live, through people, through sickness, whatever way we are with God or without God, in him or without him, we will be hurt by darkness kingdom. So it's better that we learn people to understand that they better get in the army of the ones who has the victory. And never be ashamed. Remember, never be ashamed of the word of God, because it's the power unto salvation. And that the book of Revelation at the end, with all this is said and done, it said that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Don't be ashamed of nothing that you have done. No abortions, no adulteries, nothing. Do not be ashamed. Use it. Use it as a testimony. Use it for victory. Because there are many over there that are in your same position. And you can speak light where there is darkness. But if you have a haughty spirit, a religious spirit, lacking of love, kind, and mercy, and compassion, I guess that you're going to make it to heaven. But seriously? Let's care. Papa cares. He cares. How many times we send those freaking things in Facebook? Jesus love you. Jesus love you. And sometimes I receive them from people that I go, huh? Well, yes, I know. But would it be nice if you love me too? Besides that you call yourself Christian. Yes. And so I just want to close this time and pray for you, for all of you, for your friends and families, for your enemies, for everybody that will be one day in your path or is in your path right now, that you be a witness that count for the kingdom of God. That it doesn't matter what Satan does to you, that you seriously get it as a mission to laugh at his face because he truly is a loser. And this battle he lost 2,000 years ago. And all that he does is lie, and yes, he hurts. He hurts badly. But we don't need to be kept down. We're not to be. He hits you, you fall, you get up. He hits you, you fall, you get up. That's what you do as a child of God. And you show, and you draw the line, and you said, you can hit me all that you want, but my Papa, and in Jesus' name and through the blood, I'm getting up. And you are seriously messing up with the wrong Christian. And so, I thank all of you for the opportunity to have me here. Thank you so much. God bless them all.